So if you please turn to page 34 in the gold prayer book, page 34. If you don't have the gold prayer book but you have the white binder, then please go to the first page that has all the daily prayers. And on page 34, at the top of the page, before the words, above the words daily prayers, is the Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra, and we'll chant that three times. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. And then let's read the four measurables on the same page, one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now please turn to page 37. And at the bottom of the page, says the four measurables chanting version. So we'll chant that. And in the white prayer book, it's the words by the music notes. San chen tam che de wa dong de. Below that you see two mantras, so we'll chant Chen Rezig's mantra, Buddha of Great Compassion, eight times, and then Green Tara's mantra, Deity of Enlightened Activity, seven times. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu 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 Tare Tu Re Soha. children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. Should we start with short meditations? Short. least would you must take 1 minute or 1 moment to introduce yourself to each other? Good, good. Oh, very good. Yeah, he's doing very good, yeah. Thank you very much, thank you. So, so one question has been sitting here last maybe 2 weeks. So this is quite, this is like, the question is kind of like quite profound and quite difficult one. So, this is more like friend gathering. Okay, don't think feel uncomfortable. So this kind of topic need a lot of discussions. So and I will definitely say something. But please, if you feel like to contribute, then please you're welcome to contribute. So I thought first we'll start with the questions. Okay, so what do you think? So then I'll definitely say something based on my, you know, Buddhist knowledge. So this question is about emptiness. In Sanskrit it's called shunyata. Tibetan it's called tombanyi, says same. I was wondering what do you think about all the root of the problems, root. Can you say please something? Root of the problem. Oh. Anybody want to contribute? Yeah, please, yeah. Please talk freely. You know, this is like more like friend gathering. You know, it's not that everybody please know, listen each time when a person contributes. Yeah.
Ignorance?
Huh?
Ignorance?
Oh, that's very good. Wonderful, yeah. So Yeah, please say something. Yeah.
I think there's two more, attachment and aversion.
Aversion, the root of the problem, root of the problem.
Root of the problem, yeah.
That's good,
ignorance.
Yeah, that's good. Ignorance, attachment, aversion, so. Anybody want to contribute?
Yeah. Self-cherishing thought.
Self-cherishing thought, Can you? This is not a quiz. Please don't, this is not a quiz. I just really want to hear, you know, what you think. So then based on that, then I will probably say something, yeah? Finish?
I mean, one of my other things is if the solution is difficult to face, sometimes there's like a willful ignorance where, you know, you don't want to fight for the solution, so you like choose some simpler answer to the problem, you know, or something like almost like a willful ignorance.
So did you hear my question right? Correctly, I think root of the problem. Not just no problem, not getting a piece of bread, not that kind of problem. Root, all the complications.
Incorrect view and delusions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good, very good. So,
the misperception of the inherent I?
Mm-hmm. No, very good. So, do everybody agree? The root of the problem now. maybe can you give a little bit further explanation when you say ignorance? Can you give a little more? Yeah, please, yeah.
Just simply not understanding the way things exist, and so we suffer because we see them as concrete and permanent. So when we can start to see things differently, ourselves and phenomena, then we can break that root.
Yeah.
Cut that root.
Yeah. That's very good, yeah. yeah, that's good. Now, the question is like, when you see emptiness, do you actually see something, or is it just a realization? First part of the question. Is it a way of seeing an object? Second question. There's three questions. First question is hard enough, but there's two more. Does the object look different, or is it a way of understanding? So the first part, when you see emptiness, do you actually see something, or is it just a realization? Now the question is, so first of all, I don't have any realization of emptiness. I don't know, you probably have realization, but I don't have any experience or any realization, just information. I just have information, that's all. No information. So Nyamsha Namgata Tony, so Nyamsha means no meditative equipoise. When you are in deep meditations, you know. Whether there's like impermanent or death or precious human life or karma, whatever subject you are meditating on. So that's the object of meditations. Also, now the first part of questions, actually you see something, or is it just a realization? No? meditative ego voice, ko nyamsha, which is ego voice. So let's say you are now deep in the meditation of emptiness, then the question is, what do you see? What do you see? What is like, what do you see? What is like, what do you see? What is looks like, what do you see? From this model. What is looks like, what do you see? It looks like clear space. Clear space, nothing. No cloud, just clear space. You don't see any conventional reality. You don't see any conventional reality. That doesn't mean they don't exist. They do exist, but you don't see any of those. You just see like clear space. Clear space. Nyamsha nangwatabi tomba nyimis. Emptiness, like space. Nyamsha, meditative equipoise. Namka, space. Tabi tomba nyimis the same like shuneda. Like space, emptiness, like space. That's what you see. What's the benefit of that? Now, benefit, when you come out of that meditations, how you see things, now that's important. You see, you know, you walk around, you drink, you make cook, you know, all of that. How you see? Jetob jumata the tombanis. Juma means illusions, like illusions. See, it's not something concrete, solid, serious. It's just like illusion. It's not illusion. It's real. It's not illusion. I'm not saying it's illusion. It's like illusion. So it's like dream. It's like illusion. So when you come out of that meditative equipoise, then you have this, you know, separate or different kind of concentrations or mindfulness or more like not mindfulness, concentrations. That allows you to see everything like not something serious or solid, it's just like illusions. So, what is that? What do you mean by that? Like illusions. So, so my first question, what is illusions? Illusion, there's something that you see is not real. Right, it's not real, like, sorry, magic trick. You see trick, that's not real, that's your mind's trick. somebody probably said, that's just an example, so that I was fooled by magic trick, so I just want to use that one. Somebody said, okay, they're holding piece of, like bread, and asked me, see, I can make that piece of bread disappear in the space. And that person forced me to look up. No, you have to, there's a way to trick. So then it goes like this and this and I'm just focusing on space, not on the ground. All of a sudden, probably he probably dropped it somewhere. So then I thought he just threw it in the space. Then I said, wow, it really disappeared. What I see is not real. What's real is I don't see. There's a piece of bread that went on the ground. So there's illusions. So now how you say in English like correctly, what we see is not what it was. What it was is what we don't see. Am I making any sense? What we see is not what it was. What we don't see is the real. So now why is it called like illusions? According to one of the Tibetan masters, Kulama Tsongkhapa, he wrote these books almost now 650 years ago. You know? In that book, it's all about emptiness. That, you know, entire book, this is not a very big book, it's like very short, you know, like maybe 7 pages long. This entire text is dedicated to emptiness, you know, meditation on emptiness. Basically, he's sharing his experience of emptiness. He's sharing his experience of emptiness in this book. So in that very book, it says, it kind of explains about the light illusion. It kind of explains everything's, all the conventional reality is like illusions. So teachers, you know, their teaching is therefore, pinijua cosmic. Therefore, all the dependent, interdependent existence, you know, dependent on cause of conditions, dependent, this privilege, dependent on the wood, tree, then the artist, you know, design, all of that. That's how this piece of wood becomes something. Then you call it prayer will. So then from then on, when you see this, it's prayer will, you know. It's like that. That's how something becomes prayer will. All the interdependent objects. Naturally, right from the beginning, that's very important. Naturally, right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, the way they exist on dependent on something. Dependent on something. It's not like something solid. We don't analyze. We just see prayer will. You know, like, number ten now is, you know, things does not exist from its own sight. Naturally, right from the beginning, it's not like, oh, it takes like a couple of years them to exist from its own sight. It's not like that. Naturally, right from the beginning, every conventional realities. Number areas, you know, they are free of exist by it on self, right from the beginning. Do we see like that? No. We don't see like that. We see something solid, in concrete, absolute. That is illusions. That's why it's called illusion. Am I making any sense? So that's important to understand. Why it's called, it's not illusion, it's like illusion. So it's like illusion. So, so therefore everything is like illusion. That's why, you know, we don't see how they exist, but we see there are something that exists from its own side. What that matter? What that is to do something with the root of the problems? So now the question comes back. How we define self? That's the main question, you know, how we define self. Oh, I'm so happy. I got a bunch of chocolate chip, warm chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods last night. I'm so happy now. Oh, I'm very unhappy, you know, like, then there's like, you know. According to one of the Indian masters called Chandrakirti wrote this book about also emptiness, entering into the middle way. That book is also translated in English. In that book, if you read that book, in the beginning of that book, not very, very beginning, that's almost after that. Tangbo, first, become attached to I. Tangbo ngasin, dala shinjuji. Then from there, dagi dishe. Then from there, my possession, my culture, my tradition, my people, my country. So then, you know, that's all this, you know, that's how the problem starts. That's how all the problems start. From self. Then after that, you know, so probably have you seen like this, Tamuwaj and Dala Shinjin, Dagi Dishi Mula Chaja, but this, I'm quoting that Indian master text, you know, like Chandrakirti. Chandrakirti, yeah, it's Chandrakirti, you know, Chandrakirti, Dao Thapa. Tamuwaj and Dala Shinjin, first you become attached to yourself, then from there, my position, all of that, you know. So then, then there's not much power. It goes like round and round, round and round. Like in India, maybe not just in India, probably Laos, Cambodia, like still there's some part of remote part of the village, they use this wheel that kind of brings the water to the rice field. Rice field is a bucket. This goes like that. It goes like, no, sujim is jumo. That's the sujim. Sujim is, that's the name of that wheel. Sujim. So that goes round. It doesn't stop. It goes round and round and round and round and round, round. Doesn't stop. Then after that, like that, the complication problems, like, goes round and round and round and round, round like that. Round and round. Then there's not much control. There's not much control. Caused by tightening, sort, holding so tightly on self. No clue. No clue. No, his body, his mind, is what? Is what? Like, we don't analyze our experience of self, we don't analyze, you know? Especially somebody yell at you, scream at you. So how dare that you have not, you talk to me like that? At that moment, do we ever analyze? We don't analyze. How I feel, how I'm experiencing self, that self. That self is totally independent from body and mind, which does not exist. So the belief on that everything is just, it's like, just, it just has a, believe something on false view, incorrect view. So that's why meditation, emptiness on the meditation should begin with the self, not with, you know, like, object, you know. So begin, should, must begin with the self. Therefore, show compassion for everybody. Everybody has problem. Everybody has problem. Everybody. Unless you are completely liberated from samsara, then you have no more problems. Other than that, everybody has problems. No matter how you dress, what clothes you wear, what kind of position you hold, what kind of title you hold, how much money you have, from newborn child to all the way to the president of the United States has problems. Everybody has problems. So from that point of view, you can show compassion. And if you show compassion, no, the problem, not just problem, there's not much control. You don't have much control. Unless you really start to analyze and prove that the mind that holds so tight on self, and what kind of self is that? Is like independent, or is it dependent, or is it just merely level self based on aggregate and mind? Is it just level, or is it just something concrete? If it's just level, that's pretty good. Then the holding, the tightness will be slowly get loose. If it's something solid, concrete, then the grip is going to be more tighter, you know. So then that's how there's no all the problems in the this is realization. No? This is realization. This is like not just understanding, intellectual understanding. It is understanding, it's usually translated in English, experiential understanding. What I mean by that in the Tibetan word, yinjur, yi means mind, you know, something deep inside. It's not just talking about eye consciousness. Mind is something deep. Oh, it's really hurt. My mind is now very much hurting. It's that kind of, it's not like, oh, my heart is hurting. It's not like that. So. But here in the West, you don't say, in Tibetan, we do say, oh, ma, somebody would say, oh, my mind is so happy today. No, oh, my mind is not happy. It's nothing to do with your body. Your body is fine. It's nothing to do with your food or house, your possession. There's no problem. But you say, oh, my mind is not happy. Oh, today my mind is so happy. That don't have to eat something, do something. You know, you don't have to do stuff. You can be, your mind can be happy. Instead, they ask why? Because I managed to go around the stupa 100 times. Makes me so happy. It's not like you're going shopping center, buying a lot of stuff. Not like that, no. This is just temporary. Just last, finish. So, So then the situation that Ravan never indulged, that's why, you know, out of control, everybody going round and round, all kind of problems. Therefore, this is the ground for universal compassion. That you show the compassion based on wrong view, whatever, you know. So it's just not just for Buddhist people, for all living beings, you know, all living beings deserve to be loved, deserve to be cared, deserve to be, you know, like everybody. Then that compassion is called, that compassion has been generated by knowledge of emptiness. That wisdom is generated by knowledge of emptiness, you know. That compassion is deeply rooted into the understanding of emptiness. So now the question is how we define self. Is the body? Is like mind? Is what? What is it? Everybody has to think. So that's according to Buddhist teachings, that's the root of all the problems. She said, well, ignorance, that's very true, ignorance. But what kind of ignorance? It's not like ignorance, or not this, the table clock, this has an island, there's many features, I don't know how to use. Not that kind of ignorance, you know. How you define self. It's just merely level based on aggregated mind, or is something solid, concrete? If something solid, concrete, according to evidence teaching, that's a mistake. Or you see there's like illusion. Oh, of course, self is not emptiness. Self is considered as a conventional reality, conventional truth, ultimate truth. There's two truths. No, four noble truths, so then true truth. What's true truth? Conventional truth, ultimate truth. Self is conventional truth, it's not ultimate truth. Do I see self as like illusion, or is there something solid, concrete? If you see something solid, concrete, that is according to Indian teachings, that is a mistake. That's a wrong view. So that causes, you know, all kinds of complications. Oh. So now, what do you think? Huh? It is correct or what? So, yeah, is it a way of seeing object, an object? Yeah, when you see emptiness, you see object, but not the conventional object, but ultimate object, what is emptiness. Emptiness is not illusion. It's not like illusion. Why? So there's another way to say, you know, the way it appears, called nawa. Nawa, appearances, called nawa. What is that? That is interdependent. It is not independent. It is interdependent. What in the text called nawa, appearances, what that means, it simply means conventional reality. It means interdependent object. Nawatende. Luwa meva. Nawa means appearances. What that appearance indicate, the appearance indicated to conventional reality. These are real. These are not just dreams. These are real. This is not illusion. But see, it is like illusions, but it's not illusions. Nawatende. Luwa meva is infallible. How you say? Please, you understand? That means it's real. It's not real. You can't just say, oh, this is a piece of bread I'm going to eat. You can't eat. This is not a piece of bread. That's a piece of wood. You can't just call it a piece of bread. You know, it's real. It's real. Lua meba. Infallible. That means it's real. Nawatende. Lua meba. Tongba. Emptiness. Now, when I think about emptiness part, I kind of lose whole idea of conventional realities. No? When I have more focus on the conventional reality, I kind of lose the focus on grip on emptiness. There's some kind of a conflict. That means we still don't understand the Buddha's intentions. His intention is to emptiness not different than conventional reality. They are same in nature. They are like one coin, two different sides. Two different sides, one coin. It's not two different coins. It's a one coin, there's two different sides. That's not how we see, you know, when we think of focus on the emptiness, and, you know, like sometimes people say, oh, nothing exists. That's called one extreme view, nihilism. So the quantum physics, when they analyze matter, Buddhists, you analyze self, not matter. You analyze self, their conclusion of now nothing exists. That's called nihilism. So the emptiness theory began from there. If they cannot find something, then the conclusion of nothingness means something very profound. Then the Nagarjuna's, Indian master Nagarjuna's theory about emptiness began from there. There's one extreme view, you know, nihilism. That's called middle way, one way to call emptiness called middle way, you know, free from two extreme views. One is like nihilism, one is like exaggerated, you know, like superimposed. That's one extreme view. Free from that is called middle way, called Uma. I think Robert Thurman? Robert Thurman, they're one of the renowned professor from Columbia University. I think her daughter is actor, movie actor, named Uma Thurman. The Uma is the Tibetan word. That means middle way. It means emptiness. Uma Thurman. Uma means, it's not Sanskrit word, the Tibetan word. Uma. So there's Uma means middle way. Oh. So, I think it's good, you know, like, to analyze. If you have strong interest, or maybe how to cut the root of all these problems, so then it's important to analyze your experience, you know, of self. You know. This piece of the sentence I did last Friday, we read from the Liberation Palm of your hand. Anybody remember? I say, don't need to find, you are the understanding. Huh? You remember, any of you remember the sentence? So I don't know how to say it in English. So good.
It's something like, there's no need to search, O seeker, it is you. Something like that. I can find it for you.
Yeah, so if you find that, so that's kind of interesting statement, you know, so... If you set aside your whole experience, set aside, then try to find something, that's not what it means. It means we have to find within our experience, you know, self, experience of self. Or like a perception of self, you know, how we experience self. And then analyze. You know.
I found it by Jankya Rolpe Dorje.
Yeah.
You do not have to search for it. The thing, O seeker, is within you.
So that's very important. That's very important. No? So it sounds much better in Tibetan. but very few people understand Tibetan. So when we go to the clip, close the clip, what do you call clip here? Oh, there's like. Fears arise, or I'm about to fall. You don't say, oh, my body is about to fall, or my mind is about to fall. You say, I am about to fall. That moment, how you experience I? Is that like totally independent from mind and body? That's a mistake. That is the root of all the problem. That's the root of all the problem, according to Buddha, the teaching on emptiness. So therefore, everything is dependent. Because of emptiness, you know, so Buddhists don't believe in creator. Not because there's some kind of challenge to, like, other religions believe. No. Because of the view of emptiness, there's a big problem. When you think of emptiness, there's nothing independent, solid, inherent. Everything's dependent, you know. Somebody become Buddha, like you and me, that's how you become Buddha. That's not like innate Buddha, or there's the inherently as Buddha. It's not that. Everything becomes something. That's not like, or something that's begin right from the beginning, naturally, something like that. There's nothing. When I was born, I was a baby. No name. You know, so Tibetan tradition, the family don't give their child name. So their child's name has been requested to the monastery. So monastery gives their child name. So then they give me Gelet. So then after that, I become Gelet. It's just label on my aggregate, and it's labeled Gelet. So then from there, I become Gelet. So then when I finish all my studies in the monastery, then I become Gishi, the title. Then become Gishi Gele. So then after that I came here, so then I become the resident teacher of Kadamba Center, Gishi Gele. The names goes on and on and on, on. And that, you know. So everybody becomes something like calling or labeling something. You know? It's not like right from the beginning you become Gele. It's not like, you know, this building used to be fish. What do you call fish? Huh? This building used to be fish store. When people come, they see fish store, they don't see Kadamba Center. They see fish store. Fish store. After that we bought this building, then we call this Kadamba. Then from after that people see the Kadamba Center. Do we analyze? No, is there something solid? You know, like that. Then what else? Time for that. Yeah, put time for emptiness name. There's the text that composed by Lama Tsongkhapa is called In Praise of Interdependence. In Praise of Interdependence. You know? So that's good, that's very good text, you know, to read, good text to read. And also books on emptiness by His Holiness Dalai Lama. That's good to read because, you know, His Holiness Dalai Lama, someone who practices, not just talk. Not like me, you know, not practice, just talk, and like that, you know, so. So His Holiness Dalai Lama. So now, okay, go back to Yinjurginyuwa. He, Jur, deep, just kind of moves you from very deep inside, he kind of moves. So then you gain experiential understanding, not just understanding. You know, precious human life. So there's intellect you can learn why it's so precious, you know, so meaningful, so difficult to find, you can read in the text. You know, our life, this called precious human life. That's how the Lam Rim book, Lam Rim, Lam is the path. Rim is the stages of the path. That book explains you step by step. That book begins, you know, the second topic is the precious human life. At the beginning, it's just word, you know, precious human life, precious human life, precious human life, just word. Then you think, every day you think, why it's so precious, you just meditate. And through your dream of meditation, you are kind of like doing brainstorm, why it's so precious. Then you read that, then you bring all the information. Slowly, then you gain the realizations of precious human life. That means without effort, we think of a precious human life like that. So then it means something than just what, you know. For example, depressions. Someone who has no idea, no experience of depression, is just what. Someone who went through depression, when you see someone going through depression, you have deep sympathy because you experience that. So that's everything, that's how it happens, you know, like samsara. you think about that, you may do meditation on that, or think about samsara. In samsara, being part of samsara, you know, samsara is not a place. There's nothing is perfect, nothing, nothing. It means nobody is perfect. According to Buddhism, perfection is in liberation, in nirvana. That's all that is perfect. Here, all kind of mistakes, all kind of mistakes. Because of, you know, not knowing, mainly produced by ignorance. Not knowing true self, produced by that. Not like because you are doing something wrong. So, you know, it will really help, you know. So just, you know, you are very smart, you can read, you can, you have so much resource, you know. It's not like before 1950s and there's not much resource. You know, there's no internet, you know, right now there's so much resource. You can learn Pangpo Jajin Tepo Mangdutas. You know, first, in the beginning, you learn Padma Shungutam, the Dambashas. In the middle, whatever you learn, it all become quintessential instructions, how to live your life happily, or maybe eventually liberate, completely liberated from all the problems. Padma Shungutam, the Dambashas. Whatever you learn at the beginning, in the middle, it all becomes instructions. Even just one word is something very critical. And the end, day and night. Not just once the blue moon, day and night. Consistent. Not just once the blue moon, no. When weather is so sunny, very nice, no dharma. When weather is very cloudy, kind of rainy, kind of looks kind of depressed, then thinking wasn't done, you know, not like that. Being consistent, you know, that's how one can be liberated. Day and night, you are thinking about the important subject. So that's how you can be liberated. So, then dedicate whatever merit you create by doing meditation on that, then you dedicate that for well-being of all living beings. Not just American, Tibetan, or Kadamba Center member. All living beings. No? That's how you dedicate. So, that's why they wear the t-shirt, see? T-shirt. Oh, so that, you know, that's my summary. That's my summary, you know. Not like, becoming Buddhist doesn't guarantee happiness. Does not guarantee happiness. Or becoming Christian does not guarantee happiness. You know? Therefore, last 17 years, I never ever encourage people to become Buddhist. Okay? If you manage to think something positive, that's what's important. That will liberate you from the problems, you know? Happiness does not necessarily come from doing stuff. Doing stuff and stuff, more and more stuff. So you get some pleasure here, some pleasure here, some pleasure there. Doesn't last very long. The really satisfaction, the really happiness come from thinking. Really satisfaction come from thinking. Chasing desire is not the way to fulfill or satisfy our desire. It's not. Wisdom brings satisfactions. When you go to India, Dharamsala, on the mountain, there's monks and nuns. They live there all their life. When you go to visit them, what they have? Nothing. They just live in like cave. Material-wise, they have nothing. America, you have everything. No, you have everything. You have grass that filled with. We can hardly see empty grass in America. Basement. Think about basement. Filled with stuff. Some of the boxes have been never opened like 20 years. See? Happiness does not come from collecting things. The true satisfaction, true happiness comes from thinking. I'm not so happy. I'm happy. Because I can see, I can hear, I can move around. somewhere there how much people are investing just to see. Just to see, that's all. Whole family putting so much, going here, there, try all kinds of things just to see. Then that person is able to see how much joy the person get. How much joy we get by seeing nothing, no, zero. See, that's what I'm saying. Happiness comes from thinking. Thinking something positive. You know? How often we say, I'm happy? How often we say, I'm not happy? There's reason to be happy. You know? I can make my life miserable. I'm not happy because I can't speak fluent English like you. Then I can say everything I think in Tibetan, I can say without problems. There are so many things that you don't have. That's the nature of life. This is the nature of life. Oh, I wish I have two heads. No, I wish I have like seven hands sometimes. I'm carrying something, carrying some all the things, no, so I didn't have. Yeah, so, so lately I've been thinking satisfactions. Satisfactions. No? So, on the other hand, you know, so I haven't said this man a long time ago, now I'm going to say it again today. It's been a couple of years. Campaign for happiness. Campaign for happiness. I think the story, if you don't mind me telling the story, one story. So it's about President Bush. President George Bush. So touring, you know, like have some kind of touring in the hell and heaven. Tour. So there's a guide in that heaven and hell. There's a guide who tours people there. So they ask, you know, President Bush, oh, which one you want to go see first? And the President Bush said, okay, kind of like, yeah, I want to see the hell first. And they went, okay, that's your decision. They took it to hell. Then there, you know, all his friends, Rumsfeld, there's some resources, there are many people, you know, his administrations, playing golf, drinking beer, having good time, you know, all kind of party. Then, oh, not so bad, you know. So then guy said, time's up, and they went to heaven there. So quiet, no party, no drinking beer, nobody's playing golf, so quiet. So there's all times up, so now the third day to choose where to go. Ask Bush, you know, where you want to go? So say, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but I'm going to choose hell. So, okay, tomorrow you go. Tomorrow went. No golf, no drinking beer, no party, all soaked in the mud and everything. And was said, what happened? And the guy said, yesterday's campaign for hell. Today is real. So that really helps me, you know. It's like, yeah, you want all of you want, oh, if my life will be like that, maybe I'll be more happier. Maybe this just campaign for happiness. When you have that, maybe it's going to be different. Like, you know, you go to somebody's house, you see the cat, oh, so cute, maybe I like that cat. So look at that, the way it crawls. So, you know, it comes with so many complications. It comes with the hair, it comes with the poop. You know, so all of that, the lizard box, you know, when you have one, it's a little different than when you see, you know, when you see somebody else. So it helps me greatly, you know, so like, yeah, you know, we are all human. As I said, nobody's perfect. You know, not every thought that rises is not positive. Every thought that rises positive, life is going to be much, much happier, much, much simpler, much, much happier. That's not the case. Every thought that arises is not positive. Therefore, we meditate. See, so try to generate more positive thought, more positive. That's the power of meditation, to reduce the amount of destructive thought, that increase the amount of positive thought. Life is going to be much better whether you believe in something or not believe in something, whether you're Buddhist or not Buddhist. Every positive thought matters. Doesn't matter. So if something goes on, life after this, then positive thought does matter. Besides that, anything becomes nothing. Even this body becomes useless. Everything that you collect all entire your life, finish, you know, it's nothing. See, so then death, you know, meditation on death is part of the Buddhist practice. Every day you think about death, it's not depressed. It's not depressing. It's more encouraging, you know, encouraging, inspiring. Treating every day like the last day, treating your every day like, according to Steve Jobs, when he gave talk, one of the industry, he said, treating every day as last day really shapes your life. Different way of saying, same time, same thing, thinking about death, same thing. So different word, there's different way of saying it, but the same thing. You know. Nizamna, according to Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, that books composed by Indian master Shantideva, Nizamna Jan Mechujis, all the people you consider as enemy, they are going to disappear. All the people you call is a friend, close one, disappear. You will disappear. Everything will be disappear at some point. Why do something negative? Why hurt people? Why think something negative? Why kill people? Doesn't make sense at all. All the people you call the enemy, they are going to disappear. They are not going to be there forever. All the people you call friends, they are not going to be there forever. And you are not going to be there forever. Then everything will be disappeared. Everything will disappear. Look at the history. You know, if we go travel, look at the ruins. How many people that live there, run the city, gone. All this powerful king, all this gone. It's just name, not just gone. No? So, Milanyanzu, Nyuashis, Uvokhanda, Khanjeva, Tese Tempe is the juice. Devatam Japon Vijus. Milanyanzu, like dream, like experience like dream. Experience like dream. Everything we did in the past, everything we're doing now, everything we are going to do in the future, it's become like a dream. It just become memory. So, in the end, you are not going to see them, any of them at all. So, that's why I'm thinking, you know, that kind of thinking really shapes your life. You know, so then your heart is filled with joy, even though materially, you have very little, but your heart is filled with joy. Then you feel like your life is meaningful, beneficial, meaningful, you know, something useful. So then the joy that you dedicate for the well-being of all living beings. So, then, you know, so there's satisfaction, you know, then that is very satisfying when you think about that. But don't misunderstand that I am liberated. I am not liberated. I am deep into samsara. From almost like here. Just my head is up. I am not free. I have all kinds of problems. No, I am not like all compassion. No. I have all kinds of problems. But it's just my... I do think every day, you know, every day, a couple of hours, I do think about that, you know, but doesn't mean I'm free. I'm not free at all. So, but, you know, we are here like all friends. We get together and we share our information. So whenever I have problems, I heavily rely on Shantideva's books and go, you know, go back there and then think from there, you know, think from there. So then I'll say one quote, then I'll stop, okay? One more, because when I request you to say something, then you all said, so now it's my turn. According to, there's called books, they're composed by Tibetan masters, of Tenjin of Chujie, that's called Guru Puja, or Lama Chöpa practice, Lamjin part. 동화 탐구선에 미드싱스 동화 problems, 참음스, even the tiniest problems, even the smallest problems, nobody wants, nobody. You don't want? I don't want. Nobody wants. So, if that's the case, why we are not thinking? Dunga Thamutana, meditation, Dela, Namya, Shoshin, Nevanis. When it's come down to happiness, I'm not satisfied, you're not satisfied, same. When it's come down to problems, you don't want even the tiniest problems, same like me. When it's come down to happiness, you are not content, I'm not content, same. Dunga Thamutana, meditation, Dela, Namya, Shoshin, Dao, me, she, you, no differences. Therefore, just wish them good. Just wish them well. What you lose? Nothing. If you wish them so well, you lose your head. Oh, that's a big thing. I have to think twice. If I lose my head to wishing something good for others, if I lose my head, then you have to think very carefully. Not like that. No. Dunga Thamutana meditation, Dela Nama Chusama, Dada Shela. Me and you, between you, there's no differences. Therefore, think something good about that person, that being. Means it brings joy, it brings happiness. The minute we start to think of something negative about other people, it invites problems. It invites more sufferings. That's why. If you really want to take care of yourself, you should think something positive. That's the best way to take care of yourself. You start seeing something negative, other people's looks, their culture, the way they dress, all of that. No. Even if you're Buddhist, if you're doing that, you're inviting suffering. Any living beings, no, any living beings. Therefore, as I said, every thought counts. Every action matters. Oh, every action matters. That's the way to bring. So therefore, each one of us responsible for our happiness. Next moment of our happiness. Each one of us responsible for our happiness. Not just that, we are fully capable to liberate from the problem for good. Each one of us, we are fully capable. Not only Buddhist people are capable. No, that's not true. Or atheists, they have no chance. That's not true. Every living being has same potentials. They are capable to liberate themselves. So that's my message in the last 17 years. Think something positive. Finally, that makes T-shirt, I think. Think something positive? Oh, something positive. Usually I say positive. It doesn't matter. Same. Think something good. Think something good. Is it easy? It's not easy. It's very hard. But we cannot give up. If we just see negative, where's happiness come from? There's no happiness. There is no happiness. Period. There will be no happiness. Or this rope doesn't bring happiness. Or if this rope brings happiness, I can order a bunch of them and donate each one of you. Then you can come to centers, you can wear and see. It doesn't bring happiness. It's just tradition. It's just traditional. No? When you meditate, it's easy to say. Practically not that easy to do. Especially when we encounter some difficulties, it's very, very hard to take something positive. Very, very hard to see the positive. But we can train. Slowly. Then you can show some kind of positive mind, even when you encounter some difficult circumstance, you can still manage to think something positive. Getting better. Not easy. It doesn't have to be something big. Not easy. I told you the example. I have persimmon tree in my backyard. Produce hundred and hundred fruit. When you see the squirrel on that tree, then your happiness is about to finish. Especially when you see squirrel with the fruit, one fruit. So Where's compassion? There's no compassion. No. We don't analyze. We don't analyze. We don't just stop. Okay, just stop. Take your time. Don't react right away. It's very important. Your piece of mind or piece of fruit, which one is important? Are you going to sacrifice your peace of mind just for that piece of fruit? It's not the only fruit, there's hundreds of them. There's only one. The squirrel is not going to set up the market to sell the fruit. He's just hungry, just sitting there. Then they say, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness, where's their prayer? There's no prayer. That prayer is gone. You know, not just that, you know, recite the Omanabhinga, Omanabhinga, the Malas, see the squirrel. Then just force there like that. That's not how you liberate. You know? That's what I'm saying. I'm deep into something like this. You know, it's a challenge. Generating positive thought is a challenge. But we cannot give up. If we are truly seeking happiness, we can give up. Therefore, you know, think positive. Think positive. Whatever ways you, it helps you to think something positive, do. That's what we need. We need more positive thinking people in the world. World is going to be better off. More Buddhists, more Christians doesn't guarantee. More people who think something positive. If you are wishing me something good, if I'm wishing you something good, there will be no killing. Why you kill? I'm not going to kill because I'm wishing you something good. You are not going to kill me because you are wishing something good. That's why warm-hearted, His Holiness always said, warm-hearted people, that's what's lacking, that's what's lacking. Oh. So the here gathering is whole focus on that. Whole focus on that, how we can think something positive throughout the day. And how we can minimize disturbing thought. When you're about to get angry, what do? We practice patience. Don't just say patient, word patient. This is the opportunity to practice patience. When you go to Sam's Club, to Costco, when line is so long, what do? You don't say, wow, that's wonderful. The people have money to buy all this thing. You don't say that. So we miss a lot of opportunities. Every throughout a lot of opportunities just to practice, to increase our mental quality. We just miss them. We just miss them. So that's all. So emptiness, you know, so it's hard, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's very, very hard topic. It's very difficult, you know. So so then the books that are written by Indian Master Shantideva, it's called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. This is a wonderful book. Wonderful book. You can read randomly. There's like 10 chapters. You can read randomly. Pick up some piece of information there and just use this for the meditations throughout the day, time to time. Just think about while you're walking, doing, cleaning, eating. Just think, you know. So then that is meditation. You don't have to sit down. But that's meditation while you're going, walking. That's meditation. Just become productive meditations. Okay? Yeah. Then I think now that's enough. Otherwise, sometimes the mic is going to complain. The mic is going to complain. I talk too much.
Gold Prayer Book. Turn to page 246. And then if you have the white bindage, turn to the back side of that same page. And we'll read the dedication prayer from Master Shantideva one time. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, the weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the fright cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May their powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And the seven green tar mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sangpo's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
And Arlene, our bookstore manager, has a little announcement for you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Hi, this is Arlene. I'm the bookstore manager here. And I'm really excited to announce a new campaign. Actually, it's the first ever campaign that we are kicking off. And the campaign is called Think Something Good. And Think Something Good is something that Geshe-la likes to say, so thank you. And we're honored to be using this for our logo. We are selling water bottles and pens and canvas bags and T-shirts. And I almost forgot, there are some people here who offered to help us kick off this campaign. So if everyone could just kind of come up. Yeah! Hey! Thank you. Okay, and can I just have that water bottle and that pen at least? Okay. Oh, you did give him a pen. Okay. And we'd also like to give Geshe-la a water bottle from the bookstore. So thank you. Okay. Yes, looking out. And come on by the bookstore and help us out with our campaign because all the proceeds do help our center here. And And I just do want to thank wonderful Jill and Amanda, who's not here, because without her, I couldn't have done this. I couldn't have done this campaign. So thanks very much.
Let us do the blues. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
File up as you walk through the 50
minutes. Okay. I have a couple of other short announcements. First of all, you'll see that we have this beautiful table altar with offerings for Tara. We had Tara practice last night, and Tara represents many aspects of enlightened activity. So we have this wonderful table to take down, and if anyone would like to help with it, that would be great. And it turns out, to our surprise, that Tara seems to have a connection with the Easter Bunny, because some of our food offerings on it are Easter eggs and little chocolate bunnies. So please come if you'd like to have some to take home, and we'll share them with you. And then the other thing is, let's just take a minute and think, what would it be like to have a mind, a heart that is so warm and full of generosity that all you think about all the time is, how can I give something to others, my possessions? How can I give others happiness? How can I give others fearlessness? Or you had a mind that is so full of patience that nothing bothers you. Your neighbor with the loud stereo, your child who's asking you for the 25th time, can I watch this TV show? Imagine what it would be like to have a mind that is so perfect in concentration that you can spend hours focusing on just one thought. These are some of the six perfections that are the attributes of a bodhisattva. And we're going to have a weekend retreat in 2 weeks when Geshe-la very kindly will guide us in thinking more deeply, meditating on these six perfections. And it's in a beautiful setting, Nolan's Farm out in Alamance County. So there are still spaces available in the retreat. You wouldn't want to miss this. It's been quite a long time since we've had the opportunity to spend a weekend in retreat with Geshe-la. So you can find links to the registration on our website, and I hope to see you all there. Thank you. Oh. well, there is a $25 fee to register that helps cover just the physical and logistical costs of the retreat itself. Of course, we never charge for actually receiving the Dharma, but there are some costs involved, and that'll cover your food and some of the other logistical aspects of the retreat. So hope to see you there.